Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one show to bring you all things Club America in English, from tactical analysis
pelota para la banda izquierda
to player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're going to be breaking everything down as America gets close to debuting in the League's Cup. We'll get you guys up and ready for that matchup that is Friday against Atlas in Snapdragon Stadium in San Diego, California. And plenty of Club America news to talk about. We'll maybe recap a little bit about the friendlies that happened against Chelsea and Aston Villa, maybe give our two senses to what we think about that. And then, like I said, we'll get you guys ready as we preview the debut of Las Águilas del América in League's Cup. And joining me to do so and help me out with everything going on, it is none other than the man himself, Mr. Chris Rivera. Chris, how's it going?
Good. I took a quick shower before I hopped on, so if I look a little, I don't know how to say it, sleepy, I guess, it's because of that. I complain about the weather every single time I'm here, so like it's just the heat, man. I can't deal with it. I'm a winter baby. I was born in January, so I'm just always going to complain about the heat.
Well, heat's definitely rising up as America's going to start the Bendita League's Cup, and then we'll get into the fact that, you know, you're on the opposite spectrum of that. But yeah, it's a warm one today here in Southern California. Whether you're in Orange County or the Inland Empire, it is warm. So for anyone listening in the IE or anywhere really in Southern California, just be mindful and drink plenty of water. That's our helpful tip of the day, Chris.
Yes, sir. Always drink your water, stay hydrated, and take your showers because you're going to smell if you don't.
There you go. Helpful advices by yours truly's. But all right, Chris, it's been a week since we last spoke, and the last time we were on here, we were previewing the match against Chelsea, and we spoke a little bit about that game and what it means for America, the importance of getting a couple minutes under these players' belts. And after that, America ended up playing against Aston Villa, another game that we previewed, and we talked about the importance of kind of making sure we found some rhythm within both of these matches. And would you say that, you know, regardless of the results, one, we got thrashed, the other one, we walked away with a victory. Regardless of what the result looked like, would you say that it was ultimately a successful, quote unquote, preseason before the League's Cup?
If you were to tell me after the Chelsea game, I would probably say no. But after the Aston Villa game, I kind of felt more comfortable. I kind of felt like, okay, these guys are kind of getting into rhythm. They look way better against Aston Villa than they looked against Chelsea. And, I mean, you could really take that however you want, right? Chelsea's only win against any team in the U.S., right, it was against us. But it's not like they look bad, you know? So, like, against other teams, they didn't look bad. So, sometimes you can't really look at the result. You kind of have to look at how teams play. And I think America did hold their own, right? I listened to the preview podcast last night that you had, or not the preview, but the post-match that you had for the Chelsea game, right? And I agree with you. You know, that penalty was very sus. You know, you can't really tell because it's bad. There's no VAR, so you really can't really debate anything. And I think that's where America kind of let the frustrations come in, right? And to me, like I said, if you were to ask me that question after the Chelsea game, I probably would panic a little bit. But you look at the Aston Villa game, and that kind of sends you back, brings you back down to earth, right? And you kind of start realizing, okay, it's preseason. We're not, we shouldn't panic, right? Because it is one of those things where, even though it's a coach, a successful coach that we've had, sometimes, you know, that it's not as consistent. And it's normal in the world of football, right, where there's an ending. But luckily for us, we're not going to sit here and talk about that. But It does bring you down to earth, and you don't have that fear of, oh man, Jardines spark is, you know, there's no more spark to his team, you know. But like I said, good thing we the Aston Villa game came in and we looked way better.
Absolutely. Michael Esquivel saying, saludos from Chicago, boys. The team looked good against Villa. Cristian Borja might be taking Chicote Calderón's job soon. And that's, I think, something that we can all maybe agree, because, I mean, Borja has just looked a little bit a step above Calderón, let's be honest. I made the argument, I was discussing this with one of my uncles over the weekend as we were watching the Aston Villa game. And, you know, I was discussing to him the fact that I felt like Chicote Calderón got too comfortable. Like, he felt like there was no competition. He came in, took Luis Fuentes' spot. Luis Fuentes wasn't really going to be the guy that was going to take Chicote's place. I mean, Chava Reyes was utilized more as a winger, even a striker at times. So he never really felt pressure from anybody in the squad. And now you have Calderón, who's coming in looking like he's not, you know, missing a beat, especially from his time in Europe. I think this is going to be interesting to see how both of these players react.
No, I agree. I mean, it depends, right, on what Jardinet wants out of it. And it's also very hard because you don't really have a left winger right now, right? So Borja is getting away with things that he probably doesn't get away with if there was a real threat at that left wing, right? Because you really wouldn't want them both up there because counters and all that, right? But Chicote did look really bad against Chelsea. Madueke did whatever he wanted to do with them. And even Lavia, who's a defensive mid, was attacking that wing, and he was doing whatever he wanted to. So it's good that we have competition, right? I was a big, I want to say fan, but I would argue for Chicote when he first signed, right? I was saying, you know, he's not as bad as people say he is. Now, he wasn't as good as how Chivas fans painted him, right? Because we know how that fan base is. They'll hype him up, and then when they're gone, they're the worst ever. But for me, it was always one of those things where, hey, if you look at his Necaxa stuff, he could be a very key player for us. And I think you could argue that defensively, he was very key last season. But like you said, he did look a little bit more comfortable, right? Fuentes really was in competition. Chava Reyes, we all knew what he was defensively, right? So it's good that we bring in someone. It's weird in a way that you bring in someone, a foreigner, right? I kind of compared it to back in the day with Maris and Samudio. Kind of like they would rotate, they would compete. They weren't as good as Chicote and Borja. But it's good that you bring in that competition. Sadly, I do think him coming in, you can make the argument, has created a big hole on that left wing. But there's still enough transfer window to really fix this. And maybe next week we're kind of panicking if there's no news, right? But for right now, we could be a little bit more chill on that.
Yeah, I think there's still a little bit of hope left for Americanistas to grasp too, because like you mentioned, that transfer window slowly but surely is starting to close. And when we started the podcast for this season, it felt miles away, and as the days progress, the window seems shorter and shorter and shorter. So we'll get into that in just a little bit. But yeah, I think two games that ultimately speak okay things about America. Look, we weren't the best coming into the Chelsea game. We weren't playing our best football, and I think we still aren't. We need some kind of like rebound game in a sense, right? Was that the Aston Villa game? Who knows? Maybe. I mean, the Chelsea one, I think you can chop it up to, you know, the fact that we concede at such an early stage. You know, Calderón commits a silly foul, whether you think it is or isn't, you still can't be diving. I mean, it seems a little bit reckless to be sliding in so early in a match like that. And, you know, Chelsea take advantage of that. America's heads drop, and really, we never really find an answer. That was the concerning part. But then again, you know, it's Chelsea. It's a European team, and at the end of the day, I know it's a friendly, and players were probably thinking, "Well, why am I going to risk anything at this point? You know, we're already losing. We'll try our best against Aston Villa." And then the game against Aston Villa comes around. You start seeing a much better America side. You see players going toe-to-toe with the likes of Aston Villa players. Now, I know it wasn't the most strongest starting of 11 for Aston Villa either, but still, it was decent amount of players out there that America could kind of, you know, set themselves to potentially, you know, go 1v1. And we look good. We look great. And I think slowly but surely, we started seeing the vision that Harine wanted this team to have. And they implemented it pretty well. I thought it was pretty nice that we saw majority of minutes to some of these starters, right? You saw Cáceres get a good amount of minutes. You saw Ryan Rodriguez get a good amount of minutes. Javido. Who else am I missing here? I think, was it Fidalgo? Yeah, Fidalgo got some good minutes as well. So some promising minutes for some players that we know are going to get a lot of playing time. And so to get them into the rhythm of things, I think was important. So at the end of the day, if I had to give a grade for these past two matches that America had against Villa and Chelsea, I'd give it a solid C+, maybe on a better day, B-. I don't know. Is that harsh or is that fair?
No, I was going to go with a C+ also. I was thinking just a normal C, but that kind of feels more of a fail, right? Even though it's not, you know, it does feel like a fail. So I think C+. It's not like that Chelsea game was like really, really bad either. You know, there's moments, but it does get frustrating, you know, when we faced them not that long ago and it was more competitive, right? And I feel like that Chelsea probably had more of an argument they were just better, right? They were coming recently from winning World Cup of Clubs and Champions League. They were just a better team, and we competed with that Chelsea, right? And then this one is more of a rebuild. Like, there's promising players, but they're not necessarily elite. You know, like, they're just very promising players, and they're fast and young, right? And I feel like experience, even though, like, you can't really compare because, like, payrolls are way different, but I do think we had an experienced team that we would at least be able to control the tempo, and it didn't feel like that, right? So, and then the Aston Villa game, I feel like we were just ourselves, you know? And like you said, it wasn't an Aston Villa that was strong, but that's a very underrated coach, right? That's a very underrated squad. That's a very invested team that came out fourth, and they're playing Champions League this year, if I'm not mistaken. So they're looking at it as a way to build it too for stuff like that, because they're going to have to use those players throughout the season, because your schedule is very packed. When if you follow these European teams that compete in European tournaments, they have to use everyone because they play three times a week sometimes, you know? So for me, I'm cool, you know, I'm cool with that result. It's a very positive result, and now it just needs to translate to this Friday.
Absolutely. Well, AP Jr. is not on our side. He's saying D+ for these matches against Chelsea and Aston Villa. But that's fair. I mean, catch me on the wrong day and I probably would have agreed with AP Jr. But I was trying to be a little bit more level-headed coming into the podcast and thinking, okay, you know, there was definitely a lot of negatives to take away from that Chelsea matchup, but there are some positives. Slight, but there still are. And of course, I think that game against Villa, the fact that you close out with a victory, again, I know that they're meaningless friendlies at the end of the day, and you can just kind of toss it up to just whatever. But still, you know, it's matches, and America officially gets their first win against a Premier League side. And what better way to do it than the team that finished fourth place last season, right? So there are things to kind of grasp at and be like, okay, this is positive, this is good news. And that Villa definitely carries a lot more weight than that Chelsea game, but it is what it is in that sense. And now I think Americanistas shift focus and think, okay, cool, two games, prepared ourselves. We saw a couple of good things. We're seeing a Javairo come into form. We're seeing, like we mentioned, a Borja that's playing good football. We're seeing a Fidalgo that's continuing to do his thing. And Jonathan Dos Santos doesn't look like he's missing a beat. Like, the team is starting to gel again into what we used to know or know what this team is capable of. Like you mentioned, I think the most important thing is just getting ready and set for the debut on Friday, because I think it's going to be important.
And I'll add, it's also very nice to see that Dagoberto Espinoza has been kind of adapting into this role as a right back, right? Which it's not going to be a starter or anything like that. But considering where we're at with the whole youngster group, and I'll bring this up a lot because I think it's just a thing you kind of have to highlight every week, right? Which is the youngster rule. He didn't necessarily look bad either, and very promising too, playing as a wing back. Yeah, I think it was a wing back against Chelsea in the second half, right? And yeah. I think he looked very promising in that game, and as a right back in the Aston Villa game. And like I said, you know, maybe he's a Chucho Lopez, right, where he's just being plugged anywhere because you kind of just have to plug him anywhere because he's that type of player. Or he could still be a kid that adapts into a position that he normally doesn't play, but he ends up thriving, and, you know, that's a good thing. Last year, right, Israel Reyes played as a right back. That wasn't his position. You know, who's to say he continues to perform in that position, right? We don't know how Kevin ends up being. We don't know how Israel ends up being. So maybe a guy like him, like Dagoberto, ends up playing right back and ends up being the number one right back. You never know. I think we've all agreed that we don't want to see Mignolata there anymore. I think we would probably all agree that we don't see him anymore, just overall, right? But if you have to see him out there, you probably don't want to see him as a right back. So it's nice to see that at least someone is adapting a little bit to the team that really wouldn't be considered if it wasn't for that rule. Now he's being considered. Does he thrive? Does he drown? We don't know. But one thing I do know is that we're going to see a lot of him throughout the season.
Absolutely. And I think he gets some minutes against Atlas in the League's Cup. But a little bit more on that later. AP Jr. saying, hear me out. I get we're playing European teams, but results is what I grade games by. And yes, even friendlies. So there's AP Jr.'s ranking skill. And I fall upon that same skill too. I think regardless of who you're playing, you're America, right? You're the biggest team in the world. As crazy as that sounds to a lot of people that aren't Americanistas, it's truth. You have to go in and showcase it. And unfortunately, America wasn't able to do so last week on Wednesday, but we did so on Saturday. So I guess a bit of a teeter-totter right there. But yeah, enough about these preseason games. I think at the end of the day, they were where they were, and I think we shouldn't necessarily over-examine these games and just kind of take them for what it is a little bit. And like we mentioned, the positives, which was getting some game minutes under some of these players' belts. The result against Villa, and you know the upcoming of a couple of players, especially after the Chelsea game, to lift your head up and go out there and perform wasn't easy, but America ended up doing it. So I guess kudos in that sense. But let's talk a little bit about club news, and again the lack of the rumor mill picked up a little bit this week, but a lot of nothing on the America side of things as far as transfer go, Chris. Now, the biggest rumor was that Rich Sanchez potentially had an offer from FC Cincinnati and that he could potentially be moving over to the MLS soon. And the other one was that Sebastian Cáceres was being eyed by Real Betis. But both rumors have kind of been knocked down by a certain ESPN reporter, Cesar Caballeros. And he's kind of been saying, hey, you know what? That's not true. There's no real offer for neither of those two players. So it kind of feels like we're back at square one. Just like you mentioned, right? The fact that we kind of dug ourselves into this hole because we brought in Borja on that left-hand side. Now it feels like we can't move a couple of these pieces, and because so, we haven't been able to kind of catch our big fish.
Yeah, and it's very frustrating because the weeks pass by, nobody moves, right? But what if the transfer window's closing and all of a sudden you get an offer for Fidalgo or for Cáceres, right? Which are two key players, mind you. Like, if Brian were to be moved or Richard, I don't think we lose sleep on those type of moves, right? I think it's more of like, okay, mind you, like I judge Brian Rodriguez, but it's because I don't view him as a starter. I think if before the injury against Monterrey, probably has an argument, but ever since then he hasn't been the same, right? Richard Sanchez has just been declining for a minute. I don't think that's a player that really brings anything different than who we brought in. You know, outside of the here and there bangers from the outside, there really isn't much that he brings. And I'd even argue he has cost his game because he really can't defend, right? So, like I said, what if Cáceres or Fidalgo end up getting an offer and they leave late August and the transfer window ends, what, September 16th around there?
I thought it was September 3rd.
Oh, I don't know. I saw 16th, but it's different in different markets. For sure, September, like early to mid-September, depending on where you're at, right?
Yeah.
To me, like, you have to panic at this point, right? Or not. Like I said, after this week, I'd be panicking because now it's like, what is the deal? They're saying you're not going after any Mexican. There's rumors, but it's not like concrete rumors where it's like they're negotiating. And they're taking on if they are negotiating, right? Because a Mexican shouldn't take that long to bring in. Just shouldn't, right? It should be pretty quick. You might be paying a lot, but we all know how the Mexican market is. You have to spend big, right? There was a rumor of us going for Cesar Montes, or not even a rumor, just straight up news on us going for Cesar Montes. So it's like, is there something really happening? Is there not? Why is it taking long? Why, you know, is it one of those things where we want to finalize something before we kind of give away someone else? I don't know, but I do think it's time that we or starting next week, we really do panic on that.
Yeah, America's cutting it really, really close. And I know AP Jr. is frustrated with the Santiago Baños, and I think a lot of Americanistas are as well. It just feels like we've taken two steps forward and now all of a sudden we're taking three steps back. You know, we praise this front office for the amazing transfer window that they had last year, right? Within the Apertura and the Clausura, kind of reinforcing, keeping the team together, gelling themselves well. Like, we gave them their praises and their flowers because they deserved them. But now in these moments in where you really need to start refining your squad, you haven't done so, right? At this point in time last year, when we were already playing League's Cup, we had our Quiñoneses, we had our Kevin Alvarez, we had our team kind of defined, we had structure, we had an idea, and Jardine had a full team to work with already at this point. He had something to envision, and he had something to work with. I don't think he necessarily has all the pieces to his puzzle, and therefore, I don't think we're going to see the best America side until he does. And the frustrating thing about it is, look, we just became bicampeones. Why are you telling me that it's so difficult to get things done and in a timely fashion, right? I get it. You don't want to sell cheap. I get it. You don't want to be being undersold for a couple of these players that potentially want to migrate to Europe. But at the same time, you need to be aware of that. The time's ticking. Clocks are ticking. And you're cutting it really, 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 really close. And I get it, League Cup, for many of us, will be yet another tournament where we could potentially just kind of play another preseason. But you don't have much time left until the season starts again. So I think you really need to start looking into this. And like you mentioned, right, if we don't get any news up to about next week, then I do think we start need to maybe potentially start hitting that panic button, because yeah, we need our full starting 11, our full squad, and I genuinely think that we don't have that yet, which is good, because like we mentioned, deadline, right, it's a downgrade, right? Huh?
And then there needs to be a deadline too, where they tell these players, look, by this time, if there's not an offer, right, our own deadline, we're not depending on the transfer market, not on anything, because a lot of the times we could sit here and negotiate and the team could pull out last minute. So now you're stuck with a player just because you couldn't get them out, right? And maybe that's the situation right now. Maybe they were so locked in on, you know what, we could get a left winger. We already know who we could negotiate and make it easy. We're just going to wait until so-and-so moves. What if they don't leave, right? Fidalgo has a market, right? But teams are probably looking at Fidalgo as in a Spanish player that never debuted in the first division. Should we really risk for that price? We could get the same thing on someone in our academy. Whatever the argument is, right? A lot of the rumors have been that Fidalgo has only received offers from Russia. Interest from all over the world, right? But Russia is the one that has sent an offer and they rejected it. So at some point, they have to tell Fidalgo, hey, if by this time you do not have an offer, you're going to have to stay. We were open to selling you. We put a price tag. We believe this is your value. No one's coming and needing it. For whatever reason, we still value you. We still want you here. Stay. You have to stay. Same thing with Cáceres. Maybe his injury ruined everything, you know? We were all expecting him to have a great Copa America, but it didn't happen. And that's where America, and this has always been a frustration with me and the front office, is they hold on to players. It's never us saying, all right, your time is up. We're selling you. Look at the whole Roger Martinez thing, right? Forever. We just wouldn't sell him. He had the last say. And I understand there's percentages. I understand there's wages. But, hey, tell that player, you're not getting minutes. You're not going to be played. You're not going to be registered. Leave. Go find the team, right? Richard Sanchez. There's no need to bring in Jefecito and Alan Cervantes and then having Richard still there and Jonah still there and Fidalgo still there. And then you bring in Chiquito Sanchez as well. And it's just like, all right, well, someone has to leave. And you brought in three midfielders. And who's leaving? It's not going to be Jonah because I think Jonah retires as an America player. I'm being honest with you. Fidalgo probably isn't leaving unless someone pays big, so you're not really guaranteed, and you're not really looking to get rid of him either. So Richard, you know, we have to cut ties, you know? But for whatever reason, we're always, same thing with Nestor Araujo, like, what's the point, right? He has big wages, came in as a bomba, and we're just sticking him as, trying to force him to be a starting center back, may I add, because this season he has been playing a lot. But let's also be honest, that's a player that should be getting rid. Like, even if you have to loan him out, it's cool, you know. It's a big loss for us, but it is what it is. You have to bring in other players. And we could afford that, you know. So it's just frustrating. Maybe it is panic time right now and not next week, but I don't know, man. It's just one of those things where that's where I get very frustrated with the directiva. It's just, why are you always holding on? Why are you waiting for something to happen? That might not happen. You know, it's just, I don't know.
And I understand that there's a lot of stuff that goes behind the scenes that maybe we aren't aware of and maybe we don't comprehend just yet. And I know it's easier to kind of give an opinion looking inwards than outwards. But at the end of the day, I do think that this is all valid criticism at the end of the day, because you had a very good transfer window last year. And this year, you're starting to look like your typical old self when you were definitely against the ropes with the fans and everything. So I do feel like we're coming with valid concerns. And next week, if there is no movement, we're going to even vocalize it even louder. Because at the end of the day, they have to feel some pressure from somewhere. And if it's got to be the fan base, then so be it, you know? And I do think that we'll see, hopefully, some movement in the next couple of days. I think I mentioned it to you guys in the chat. These next 2 days, I think, are going to be big for America. I think they're going to be, hopefully, a busy one in social media where we're talking about player X, Y, and Z are being linked with America because you know, Richard is leaving or Brian or whoever. At the end of the day, you got to get rid of a foreigner. Just one foreigner, right? So you need to get rid of is one foreigner, bring in another one, and you kind of just lock yourself in and that's it. Is that going to be the case? I don't know. I hope so. But like you mentioned, I think we give them about until next week. And if next week happens and nothing has arisen, then yeah, definitely start pressing that panic button, because America needs to be in a much better position than we are now. Because like I mentioned it last week on the podcast, if this is our squad for the remainder of the 2024 Apertura season, we have completely downgraded. Just absolutely downgraded. So we'll see what happens. AP Jr. asking, Do you think America management are happy with the current squad, which is the reason why the lack of transfer movements? I think there's some truth to that. I do think that the management is content with majority of these players. And at the same time, I would argue that there are a couple of players here and there that they would not be bummed out if they were to be outsourced. So I think it's a mix of both. I think they're about 80% content with the squad and 20% hoping that things get shifted within the next week or two. So
I think Jardine is getting scapegoated when it comes to that. I don't think he's happy with the squad. I think he probably is being vocal, like, we need to bring someone for that left side. Because I don't know if you guys seen the reports too that Jardine is happy and saying, oh, I want to keep so and so. I don't believe that. I don't believe that he wanted a stacked midfielder room with just one real winger, right?
Yeah.
Aguirre played on the wing with Monterrey. He's not a winger. Anyone that watched him in Monterrey knows that he looked bad there because he played it in that position instead of putting him as a nine. Did Baños or whoever signed them looked at it as, oh, this guy plays there, they're going to put him there. I don't think Jardine sticks him out there wide. I think he's a nine that roams, not a nine that plays the wing, you know, like Quiñones, for example, right?
Yeah.
I think there's been players with bad contracts that America refuses to give to take it as an L, right? Which Nestor Araujo, Richard Sanchez, I don't know how much they make, but I think they refuse to accept the fact that they made a bad deal. Same thing how it happened with Roger Martinez. Valencia had a percentage, and they refused to lose in that sale. They wanted, you know, to win. You see it in other teams in Mexico, right? The whole Yurel Antuna stuff like that. Like, teams are gonna sell them high because their former team owns a percentage, and the deals don't equal the value, right? You've seen rumors. I'm sure you guys have seen it, and I don't know who reports them, so I'm not really giving credit. I don't know how reliable they are either, but you see you hear that they value Richard Sanchez to be like $7 million, $9 million, and it's like,
no, that's ridiculous. No, yeah, I saw someone being upset that Cincinnati was throwing $4.5 million. I was like, Take it and run with it.
Exactly. So it's like, let's be realistic. You know, if that's how much you value him, then something went wrong, because absolutely, there's no way someone that loses their spot to Jonathan Los Santos, who is old, you know, is an older player that's going to, like I said earlier, he's going to retire in America player. I don't see him retiring him anywhere else, especially at this age. And if that's the guy that beats you out, and that's the guy that we find, like, remember when I used to be on here, I used to say the reason we're not champions is because I don't think Richard and Fidalgo play good together. They switched them out and we came 2-time league titles back to back, right? So there has to be like a reason, and I do think that's a key reason. So for me, like, if the reason is they value him that much, well, you're better off loaning him out and let him get the value somewhere else, because you're not selling him for that much.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think a couple of us, somebody kind of, they're being a little bit delusional, and I think that there's some, I'm trying to look for the right word here, but I think there's some correlation to Richard Sanchez and his golazos that people overhype and overvalue him, and I think that's definitely something that's hurting America at this point, you know?
He's absolutely. Luis Chavez, you know, that type of player that people are more excited about the FIFA goal instead of everything else, because it's FIFA, you know, like, yeah, video game stuff. No.
Yeah, no, of course. I agree. But yeah, that's the news of Las Águilas del América right now in the transfer market, in the transfer window. Quiet days, hopefully louder and busier days ahead to come for América. Like we mentioned, we'll be back next week. We'll talk about América. And if there's still not even an ounce of a rumor that could be possibly valid, then, you know, we'll press the button live on the podcast and start the panic. So we'll see. Hopefully that doesn't come to fruition. And hopefully we're talking about, you know, a certain player coming in on the left wing that could potentially change the face of America. So let's see what happens, and we'll keep you guys up to date. So make sure you guys follow us over on Twitter at Eagle Eye Podcast. And yeah, we'll keep you up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas and America in the transfer window. But all right, Chris, from the transfer window, we go and we jump on into the League's Cup. It's the second edition that America will be making their, I guess, hopefully trying to make a mark in this new competition. I know many people will categorize it as a Mickey Mouse trophy just because of the fact that it's so new and so random and so, I guess, just everything negative that can be associated with, right? The Messi Cup is what a lot of people will call it nowadays. But I would be lying if I wasn't telling you that I'm excited for America to be playing in the League's Cup. So I know you don't fall under my excitement as well, but just kind of give me your overall thoughts and opinions about America coming into this one, knowing that we're going to be playing against Atlas, knowing that we got this bye and we're now straight into the knockout stages. Kind of your feelings and emotions towards this League Cup season this year around.
I think, look, I don't, let me kind of summarize my whole feeling perspective, right? Because it's kind of hard to just highlight this game, right? For me, I want America to compete, right? I want America to get better each game that they participate, whether it's the final or it's one and done. I want them to just leave it out there, because I do think, just like we were talking about the friendlies against the European teams, I think this adds into that. To me, I think this America game against Atlas, you're facing a team from the league, you're facing someone that you're going to be competing with, a team who, in my opinion, the few times I watched this year or this season, they look better than they have in recent seasons, right? So for me, I think we need to go into this game, be competitive, make sure to dominate, look like the best team that we are. We're going to be on quote-unquote home, because it's a state game in the West Coast. We're the home team. No matter who we face, we're the home team. So my expectations is just be competitive. You know, whether you look at this game as a big game because of the tournament or not, at the end of the day, you have to be out there and look good. You have to be out there and be competitive. You have to look out there and make sure that translates into the season when we restart it. Because as we highlighted before, we face Puebla and then we have two back-to-back Clásicos, right? So this is where you start to have to be yourself. This is where you have to start to look like this big team, this contender for the championship.
I agree with you. And I might add that America needs to come out here and have the mentality of, okay, I need to win this game. It's important that I win this game, not only because you don't want to be a one and done and be the laughing stock of Liga MX, right? Because at this point right now, it's Chivas and Monterrey. You don't want to be in that category. You don't want to be thrown in there. So you definitely want to start off on the right foot. But also at the same time, we spoke about it heavily last year when America was playing in the League's Cup. It's just the nature of America, the competition, whatever competition it is, real or fake, there's always pressure for America to win, to be the winner. So you're coming in with that already expectation. And let's mind you that every Americanista was coming into this new season thinking, we got all these competitions that America needs to win and America's going to lift trophies, right? We got the Campeón de Campeones, the Supercopa MX, the Apertura, the Leagues Cup, the Super, the Campeones Cup, the whatever. Every single trophy that America is going to be contesting for this calendar year, they listed it as a must-win for America, right? The fans themselves, and that's something I want to remind people, because there's a lot of talk on social media that this is a Mickey Mouse trophy, this is another preseason, yada, yada. But us, as Americanistas, we put the pressure on our team already to be like, hey, look, we need to win this. We need to come out on top. And regardless of whether it's League's Cup or we're playing, marbles, America needs to come out on top. America needs to win. And I agree to that. That is the nature of being America. That's the nature of an Americanista. That's always wanting to win. And so I feel like it's not necessarily going to be a pressure for America this Friday, but I do think it's going to be an added edge to the squad as well to think, okay, we know that we're heavy favorites. And you're looking at the bracket, it's pretty favorable for you to get to the final. So I think you're looking at this and thinking, okay, what other team out there could potentially go toe-to-toe with us? Maybe Tigres, but they're on the other side of the bracket. Maybe Columbus, they're still yet to make their debut. On your bracket, you know, you have the likes of, you know, Portland's picking up a little bit. They still have to go through St. Louis. LA Galaxy, top of the Western Conference. But then again, they didn't look their best against San Jose nor Chivas. LAFC, we'll see what they do tonight against Austin. So America really is coming into this one as heavy favorites. Whether a lot of people want to admit to that or not, no other team in this League's Cup right now looks like they can take it the way that America does. And for me, that's good.
I kind of disagree with you. So I got to look up the bracket real quick. Mm-hmm. And this is just based off this tournament. So I'm not, you know, I think Toluca could bring something. Toluca has looked good, in my opinion, even in regular season. Galaxy could bring something interesting. I know you know more about Galaxy than I do, so maybe you disagree on that. But to me, the way they've been playing, and one thing that I noticed against in the game against Chivas is that they're very good at exposing holes with long pass.
Yeah,
right. I think stylistically they could be something. I think Portland might be something. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I think Atlas could be something interesting too, because Atlas, mind you, I only saw the Houston game, so maybe I'm wrong on that. But to me, they seem more strong in the midfield, and LAFC maybe, but in Austin maybe. Maybe not Austin. Maybe I'm wrong there, but
yeah, no, I'm just Austin. I think, yeah,
LAFC maybe. I think LAFC has more of that. I mean, no offense to anybody that's an LAFC fan, but Chivas USA, Chivas, you know that. There's more of a atmosphere where it's more of a rivalry, even though it's not. I'm not saying they are, but
yeah,
fan wise, they're Chivas fans in my opinion. So the atmosphere in the stadium might bring it into an intense game. But I kind of do think some of these teams might, even now, I wouldn't say Houston. But other teams, yeah, Toluca, Galaxy, LAFC, maybe Seattle, maybe Portland, and maybe even Atlas.
But I'm not saying that these are not good teams that America could potentially face. I'm saying that out of all of them, out of that whole bracket, America shines above them all. Right, as the candidate, as the heavier favorite, I think a lot of people will look at that and say, okay, America is favored, not favored, excuse me, that's not the right word to put. America is
on paper. Is it what you're arguing? Yeah, on paper, the roster,
the everything. Right, I think America is coming into this one as the most expensive squad again in the CONCACAF region. So again, it's one of those things where you have to look into that and say that's an added pressure. That's an added, it's another thing that kind of pushes you to be the heavy favorite of winning this tournament, right? AP Jr. putting in his own words, I'm excited for this competition, but feel like this competition is like Copa Libertadores rules, get added, taken out, or forgotten because it's competition for a MLS and especially Messi team to win. So,
and I feel the same way. I feel the same way that I think it. Maybe you agree. I don't know, but it feels like all of this is more of a let's prop MLS as this like worldwide. This is the best league in this region, and there's the reason why you kind of have the format of this tournament like how it is, right? And a lot of Mexico fans have, or Mexico, Liga Americans, whatever, they have issue with the way it's built. And that's the reason why it kind of has this, like, negative, at least to me, right? It's just a lot of things where I've said it before, and I think I've said it on here. I feel like this tournament would be better off being yearly, right? Where you go over there, you come here, you add more games, and it forces you to have, I think you would make more money, if I'm being honest with you, if you make it yearly. Maybe, I don't know how all this works, but I think instead of forcing it in the summer to make it feel like a friendly and not really have an important, I mean, you see some teams, they really didn't take it serious either. You know? So I agree with that. I do think this is more of a MLS. And compared it to Libertadores, which is funny because I also agree with that comparison too. You know, Mexican teams will be invited to Libertadores and they'd be scammed from opportunities to really win it, you know?
Oh, yeah, I agree. I do think you're right in a sense, right? This is very much a tournament to highlight MLS. I mean, even if you go on Twitter and you just kind of go and look up League Cup, the little check mark, the little gold check mark, and then it says in association with MLS, but it doesn't have any association with Liga MX. And it's supposed to be a merger of the two, right? So it's supposed to be, quote unquote, an equal-based tournament for both sides. But obviously, this is going to be more in favor for MLS. But I use that as, and I want to spin that as a positive for America. Because we claim to be the best team in our region, right? We have the most CONCACAF Champions Cup. We're the most winning team in Liga MX. Look at all our trophies. But let's face it, our numbers against MLS sides have not been pretty. Haven't been great. You know, and while I would argue maybe it's just the losses maybe edge the wins by just mere margins, I don't think it's enough. I think you have to be, if you truly want to claim to be the biggest, you need to go out there and stomp all the competition, not just in Liga MX, but if you're willing to do so in the States as well, even Canada. So I think you have to go out there, you have to put your best foot forward, you have to go out there and take this competition just as serious as you would in Apertura, a Sudamericana, Libertadores. And as crazy as that sounds for some of you right now, because you're thinking, what? It's League's Cup, it's a made-up tournament. But look, Libertadores at one point was a made-up tournament, and look where it got to. I'm not saying that League's Cup is going to be just as prestigious as a Libertadores, but you know, history is being made. History is being unfolded year in, year out, that this competition continues to grow. And Chris, it might just become what you just said. Maybe down the road, they're like, you know, they're looking at their numbers and thinking, maybe we expand this to a yearly competition and this could potentially work out for us even better, right? And they work things around. And now League's Cup is even worth more than what it used to be a couple years ago. So I do think that this is an ever revolving wheel that is going to continue to kind of spin and roll and grow and expand. But if you can do so at an early stage and set the precedent for the future to come, I think that speaks volumes, and I think America needs to do so. Look, last year we did not leave in the best of terms, right? That Nashville game should still rub a little salt in a couple of Americanistas' wounds just because of the way we went out in those penalty shootouts. Right. And so I think that America needs to go out there, not necessarily quote unquote get revenge, but definitely kind of go out there and try to think we can do better than what we did last season, especially since you are now coming into this one as bicampeones of your own league. Yeah, the pressure is on because everyone's looking at you and thinking, okay, what is this America side gonna do? So I'm hopeful that they take this just as serious as I hope that they are going to, you know?
I'm just asking to be competitive, you know? Like yeah. This is where me, you kind of disagree, right? Where you kind of maybe prioritize it a little bit more, right? For me, I want them to just be competitive. We win it, cool. We don't, cool. Like, and at the end of the day, we're really not losing much. And that's kind of been my argument with this whole thing, which is, yes, like, America should compete to win everything, right? But not every title and not every championship is valued the same, right? Like, there's no real consequences if we don't win this. Whereas, let's say Jardine doesn't win league last season, and we didn't win CONCACAF, right? Champions Cup. Well, now the seat is a little bit warmer, even though people would probably disagree. But hey, we saw it in Mario Carrillo back in the day, right, where he has this long winning streak. And then, if I'm not mistaken, he gets eliminated in Libertadores, maybe CONCACAF, I don't know, but he got eliminated or something and he got fired. And it happens, right? That's the type of pressure that this club brings. With League's Cup, I don't feel it like that. I feel like, mind you, if we win or second place or third place, we get a CONCACAF spot, which we already have. So we're really playing for someone else in the league. And as an Americanista, even as an Americanista, like, this is where I'm very anti everything Mexico, because as an Americanista, I'd rather an MLS team goes into CONCACAF over a Mexican team. Why? Because it's screw everyone else. It's all about us, right? And I'd rather them be tortured because they feel the same way about us. We're the most hated team, the most. We're everyone's rival in Mexico, right? So for me, it's just one of those things where it's just like, look, if we don't win, cool. Like, it just means that someone else in Mexico didn't win either, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way I feel it. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. I know there's a lot of people that are probably like, no, we need to be more than MLS. But for me, I'm just not into that league rivalry thing. I just don't believe in it. I'm never going to sit here and be like, let's go Pumas, be Seattle. Like, I'm never doing that in my life. You know, and it sounds funny because just imagine an Atletico de Madrid saying, come on, Real Madrid, be Manchester United in the Champions League final. No one's doing that, right? Because in the other day,
you're still rivals.
I don't like Pumas, right? They're my real rivals. And then this MLS stuff is just, to me, it's just like, it's mid. It's just mid to me. There's no, not a real rivalry. And this is where I probably offend MLS fans, but just because you don't have a culture, right, where you guys don't have real rivalries, doesn't mean that we have to act the same way. And that's how I view it. I view it like that. Like, I'm never going to – if I was an MLS fan and I went for Galaxy, for example, right, I'm never rooting for LAFC. Like, I'm never doing that. And I feel like you do get those type of people – on the other side, that's probably like, oh, well, I'm going to root for ours because this is the USA. Like, come on, man. You get what I mean?
No. Yeah, I see where you're coming from with your argument. I absolutely do. So, I agree with you in that sense that, you know, America above all, but I still feel like there's a duty that America has to not just themselves or the fans, but kind of to uphold an image that you are America and you need to go out there and perform and win everything and anything, regardless of whether it carries weight or not. At the end of the day, what are reporters going to say if America gets eliminated, even if it's in the semifinals? It was a failure. America fails, right? It's not, oh, America got unlucky. Oh, it's America was, you know, too bad, so sad. It's America failed.
The same way they're treating Chivas right now. Even if we end up winning a couple games, if we're not champions, we're going to get probably worse treatment, right?
And absolutely.
I get you. Mm-hmm. I get you from that perspective, and I get it. I guess it's just more of the ultimate, like the in the end, it's like not really real consequences to it.
Yeah, know? No, I get it. None of us are going to be losing sleep if America doesn't win the League's Cup. That's a given, right? But I think that there is going to be kind of this negligence over us that thinks, okay, you know, maybe we could have done better, maybe we should have done better. What is this going to mean for us in the league moving forward? So I do think that there is some weight to this competition, and I think hopefully come Friday we see America put even better foot forward, because let's face it, when it comes to official competitions, which Friday's game is going to be, the last official game we had was against FC Juarez and we didn't look good at all, right? So we need to show a better face and we need to start looking better. because the season is starting to unfold and you need to get yourself back into shape. So the only good thing about this is, Chris, you talk about league rivalries. Well, we won't have that come Friday. America ended up getting seeded against Atlas. And so we'll see if familiar faces will get to face off against the Liga MX side. So America versus Atlas is going to be game. This game is going to be on Friday, August 9th, live via TUDN, if I'm not mistaken. And of course, Apple TV for all you MLS season ticket holders. And the game, I mentioned, right? 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern, 9 Central. What else did I have to say about that game? I forget. But regardless of that, it's hopefully a good matchup. You mentioned it, right? Atlas has something to kind of prove themselves. It's always a decent matchup and gives you kind of Interliga vibes.
Yep. And it really is just a tournament. You know, it's the same tournament, we're being honest with you. Just one gets you into Champions Cup, another one got you into Libertadores.
So. Yeah, no, of course. Absolutely. How did you feel about the draw when after the results came in and you saw, okay, we're getting Atlas?
I liked it as from a familiarity perspective, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about it last week with Christian, right? MLS teams are in the end of their season, so they're way more in shape. They're more prepared. So I kind of viewed it as, and you know what, we get a Mexican team off the bat, we kind of get the same type of rustiness. You know, obviously Atlas already played some games, but it's not like they look mid-season or Liguilla type Atlas, or you know, they look average. You know, and I think that's good for us. I think that kind of helps us. Like we were saying earlier, it's not really fair to compare ourselves against these European teams, but now you kind of face a team maybe even lesser than you, right? So for me, I like the draw. I know some people are kind of saying, you know, it's a scrappy game. Atlas could be one of those teams that knows us, so it could be very bad for us. But no, I liked it. I think, like I said, it's a team that we're familiar with, and we should be able to put a game plan out there because how much we might know them.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that it was the most favorable draw for America, but it wasn't the worst opponent we can get either. I think that there is plenty to be said about the fact that we know who they are. We kind of understand their game plan. And, you know, we have a little bit more access to them than when we do to the fact of Real Salt Lake or Houston Dynamo. So, I agree. I think this was a pretty decent matchup, and I think a game that if America wanted a way to bounce back and get themselves on the right track against Liga MX sides, then I mean, what better way to do it than against an Atlas, right? So let's see what happens. I mean, you mentioned that this game is gonna be a home game for sure. Obviously, whenever America travels West Coast, and America's gonna stay on the West Coast, right? They chose California as their seeding for up to the semifinals. So if America can make it all the way up to the semifinals, they will play maybe not all the games in Snapdragon Stadium in San Diego, but they will be playing in Southern California or California. Well, I don't think they'll travel that much that north, but yeah.
We might be LAFC for semifinals, so we might not even have to go that far. You know, one thing I'll add, you know, it's a good thing that we already knew we were going to play there, and tickets were already out before we knew who we were going to play. So I'm expecting like a 90% America stadium, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah, it's not officially a sold-out stadium. I mean, a sold-out game just yet. Tickets were still on sale as of today. But I expect that to kind of get there. I wouldn't say it's going to be a full sell. I'll put it about an 80%. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, definitely. America fans will show up in numbers. Definitely. But let's talk about this game and what could we expect. I know a lot of people mentioned the fact that Harine worked with a certain squad, a certain formation before they left. to travel today to San Diego, right? I think it was Malagon and Net on the right. You had Israel Reyes on the left. You had Borja in the center back partnership was Nestor Araujo and Igor Lichnowsky. Center mid partnership was, of course, Fidalgo and Jonah, with the cam being Chiquito Sanchez. On the right, Javairo. On the left, Brian. And up top, Henry Martin. Chris Ramirez saying, if Araujo starts, I don't know what I will do. I agree with him. I feel like I would just jump out the window and just... I get it. Araujo didn't look so bad against... who was it? Aston Villa?
He looked bad against Chelsea.
But he looked terrible against Chelsea.
He looked really bad against Chelsea. And a lot of the mistakes that Chicote was making was because Araujo never came in to check in with him.
And yeah. Don't worry, guys. Don't worry, Chris, specifically, because it may not be that Araujo starts. I think we might see Casadis play if there isn't any movement in regards to his transfer situation. Or Ramon Juarez. I think either or would feature a lot more heavily. I think Araujo is just getting minutes against, some of these lesser teams, against these friendlies where you kind of have nothing riding on the line. Just to kind of give him a little bit of minutes, maybe showcase him for a couple of Liga MX teams here and there, be like, hey, he still got it. You know, you want him, come get him. But at the end of the day, I think we should need to be a little bit more, less worrisome about Araujo starting and be a little bit more practical, thinking that, you know, Harden is going to put either Casares and or Ramon Juarez, which is a sensible thing to do, right?
Can I ask you a question? And I kind of want the chat, if they remember this guy. Who was worse, Araujo or Luis Carrondo?
Oh. Oof. Man, I'm going to say Luis Carrondo. I'm just going to put
Luis Carrondo. Yeah, he was really bad. But how much is the gap?
It's probably like maybe like this big.
Yeah.
Araujo's one mistake from surpassing Luis Carrondo.
Oh my God, bro.
And seeing that he got his contract extended, might surprise him.
And the good thing is that we had academy players to come and fit that role in both ends, right? We had Diego Reyes back in the day, and now we have Ramon Juarez. But I wanted to ask because I feel like Jardine is probably playing him to kind of get him back into rhythm of what could be.
Yeah.
But who believes in that?
Who believes, I think, just Araujo. You know, like, I don't even think Harine believes it.
I don't even think Araujo remembers that video where we won the 14th. He's like, we won because I didn't play.
Yeah, exactly.
He's always like, no, like,
yeah, it's bad. It's bad. Chris agreeing, the fact that Vizcarundo was worse, but it's close though. It's absolutely close. But what can we expect from the Samarica side, though? Pretending that starting 11 is practically unchanged with the fact that Araujo just gets substituted by a much better center back. What do you expect from this heading this side? You know, taking into consideration everything we've seen already up to Jornada 1 to Jornada 4 and these friendlies. Like, how much optimism do we have for this game?
Who did you say for left back?
Borja.
So... me and Christian got into the debate about left backs or full backs, right? Where one, should they prioritize attacking or should they prioritize defending? To me, if you're going to have a left back in Borja who doesn't necessarily track back as well, not that he can't, right? But he's not in a strong suit. Then you need center backs that are able to cover that. And if Nestor Araujo is playing, I am a little bit worried because a winger that's fast, which I'm not, top of my head, I don't know who their striker is, right? But someone that could dribble against Nestor Araujo and having that gap would be very dangerous. But with that being said, I do think America is going to play down the middle. They're going to be controlling the midfield. They're going to play with their wings. It's all about not making that mistake, because if you do make a mistake, right, do you trust the Borja who's going to be pressing very high, because that's his style of play. He plays high. are you comfortable with Nestor Araujo getting countered? You know, no, right? So we have to pretty much play a very flawless game in the midfield, and we have to score right away, in my opinion, or first at least. I think this we can go to penalties, even though a lot of us probably trust Malagón when he goes there. But I think this is a game that you need to go and finish. You need to close it out because there's no reason to be going into penalties against Atlas, in my opinion.
Absolutely not. No, I agree that there's some sense to the fact that America needs to be very cautious and mindful of the way that they distribute the ball in the midfield and maybe not be as risky, especially if you're going to have an Nestor Araujo out there in the back. You can't expose them to pace, right? Because there's going to be gaps. So we'll see. I mean, maybe we're wrong. Maybe Chicote Calderón starts and maybe then it gives us a little bit more of a breathing room because we know that he will drop back a little bit more and maybe not get so high. Again, a lot of moving pieces that maybe we won't know until tomorrow or maybe even the day of. But I do expect an America side to play better than they have in these past couple of games, especially against the likes of Juarez and Tigres. I think we're going to see hopefully a Javairo that you know, wants to kind of carry this team on his shoulders. A Javairo that is taking shots from outside the box. A Javairo that's finding crosses. A Javairo that's taking on players, right? And I think he's coming into the player that he wants to be, and then we know the player that he can potentially be for us. And so this is good news. I think him and Henry are going to link up very well, very nicely. And I think a player that needs to come up and step up and have a big game against Atlas has to be Chicote. I mean, not Chicote, excuse me, Chiquito. So many players with CH. I can't keep track of everyone. But look, honestly, there was a price tag on his head. There was so much hype around him. He was the bomba signing of the season for America, right? And a lot of people for Liga MX. He has not demonstrated that. He has not demonstrated to be the player that we know he could potentially be for America. And this is something that we discussed whenever his transfer was made official, was what could he potentially do? And could he prove us wrong that he wasn't just going to be another mid player that just came in and did an average game week in and week out, but a game changer that could potentially, you know, carry the game when needed. And he's playing in a vital role. He's playing in a number 10 position and a position that needs to kind of sometimes outshine the rest. And so he needs to hopefully potentially against Atlas do much better. And he can take this competition, this League's Cup, as an opportunity to kind of mark himself and cement himself in the League's Cup and potentially for America as well. So we'll see what happens in that forefront. But yeah, give me your prediction for Friday, Chris.
I'm going with a 2-1. I think I want to say 2-0, really, but I do think I don't know. I feel like I'm alone in this boat, but I think Mudo Aguirre might start blossoming into this late bloomer player, Mexican player that we always tend to find. You know, like
yeah,
it's not old, right? But he's not a player that we're going to be talking going to Europe. You know, he's going to be Oribe Peralta, Henry Martin, who kind of finds rhythm later in the career. And like, I feel like we're kind of seeing flashes of that. So I kind of feel he scores in this game.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think America wins because I think Javairo right now is playing amazing, right? I think no one's going to complain about him. I think his arrival is now, right? It's here. He's here.
Yeah.
He adapted to the team. He's allowed to play his style, right, which is important. And he's not hesitant to shoot, which is another thing that I really like. And I think Henry gets a goal in, too. I think Henry has been quiet because of these friendlies, and I'm scared that Henry Martin starts ghosting a bit. So I think he gets a goal in this game. I think Atlas is a good opponent for that. I think, like you said, Chiquito Sanchez, I think he's going to show some of his creativity. You know, he's not super creative, but I do think he he has it in him to have that vision to pass to him. And I think we end up winning a 2-1.
All right. 2-1. I like it. Love it even more, the fact that Henry gets a goal. I know Dylan would. And I agree with everything that you've mentioned. I do think, though, that we win it 2-0, though. That's my prediction. I'm going 2-0. We keep the clean sheet.
Not mad. Yeah, I'm not mad at that. I mean,
absolutely not. I would not be mad at that either. So we'll see. Hopefully America comes out on top and can continue to kind of progress in the League's Cup and go potentially, you know, if America does make it into the next round, we will have an MLS opponent, whether that be St. Louis, a rival that we know from last year's iteration, or Portland, a team that we know from CONCACAF Champions Cup. So,
you know, Cabecita.
And Cabecita there as well. So it'll be interesting. But yeah, I'm going 2-0. AP Jr. saying España to win the Olympics and America to win 2-1 as well. There you have it. AP Jr. with a prediction similar to Chris's. But, I mean, that's all I got. Would you got anything else to add on as I bring up Chris Ramirez's 1-0 prediction for Las Águilas del América?
We talked about the Cesar Montes thing, right? Last week? I have bad memory. I don't even know when that news came out.
I don't think we did. I mean, I know that Fabrizio Romano tweeted out that we reached out to Almeria, but they kind of denied it.
Rejected. Yeah. Rejected the offer. What's your thoughts on the offer, for starters?
I think that he's better off playing in America than in Almeria.
I agree with that, too.
But again...
Do you think that was too much?
Going for him?
It was $7 million plus $2 million. I mean,
if they would have offered 8, I still would have been like, you know what, makes sense. It's a Mexican. There's always that Mexican tack, and he's a good center back. I mean, you know, yeah. Is he worth the $8 million?
I like him.
I don't know, you know, but definitely would be an upgrade from Néstor Araujo.
So. He would probably arguably be a would he be a starter? Let's say no one gets sold, right?
No, he's not a starter.
Be a starter?
No, which is crazy, right? Because I just said he's definitely worth $8 million. Yeah. I'm over here saying he doesn't start for America.
I think there's a debate between him and Igor.
No, of course, 100%. But Igor brings something that no other center back has brought in America for such a long time, and that is security in the air.
But I think Montes brings that.
We'd have to see it in an America jersey.
Well, that's true. But,
you know? But that's
all I know is you pissed off a lot of people who probably think being in second division Spain is better than being in the first division because, you know, the narrative is that Liga Mexicana is the worst in the world because everything in Europe is better. But I'm not here to clown anybody, even though I want to.
No, I agree. I mean, we'll see. I mean, will America go back for him? Only if Cáceres leaves, I would imagine.
Yeah, I agree.
So, well, that pretty much wraps it up for us here. I don't want to keep the listeners going any longer than we already have. It's already been a little bit more than over an hour. So, yeah, come back next week, guys. We'll be talking all things Club America. Hopefully, if America does advance, we'll get you guys up to date with what's going on, who we play, and all that good stuff. And, yeah, looking forward to this game on Friday, and hopefully it should be a fun one. Hopefully it's one of those games where, you know, you come back saying, all right, America's back, and hopefully that's the case, Chris.
Yes, sir. I'm excited for Friday. I'm always excited to see you play.
Even absolutely. When America plays, it's always a good day. Until it's not a good day.
Yes,
sir. So. We'll see. But yeah, no, we're excited. We're hopeful. And if you guys haven't done so already, make sure you guys follow us over on Instagram and TikTok as well. Instagram and Twitter at Eagle Eye Podcast. And if you guys haven't done so already, make sure you guys leave us a rating. You know, like Chris said, leave us a 5-star rating. But if you don't like the podcast, still leave us a 5-star rating, but tell us why it is. Why is it that you hate Dylan so much? You know, what did he do to get you so upset?
Poor Dylan didn't even show up.
It's probably why. But all right, we'll be back next week to talk all things Club America in English. Chris, as always, thank you so much for taking out the time to talk with me.
Always, brother. Always.
Absolutely. All right, then. With that said, you guys have a wonderful night. Take care. And as always, arriba en America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.